Welcome to another edition of The Last Negroes at Harvard. I'm Kent Garrett. This podcast is about being black in America for over 80 years. It is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. Coming up, former President Donald Trump used the common term bloodbath during a weekend speech, and the left-wing media purposefully took what he said out of context to gin up a new controversy. The headlines were over the top and purposefully misleading. We have two pieces from Fox News, Sean Hannity and then Laura Ingraham.
And welcome to Hannity this Monday night. Wow, a lot of news tonight. Tonight, Joe Biden reportedly anxious and angry over his reelection prospects. Why? Poll after poll after poll. Well, Donald Trump is beating the current president. Demographically, Joe is losing huge parts of his base. He's losing huge numbers with African Americans, Hispanic Americans, young people, suburban moms. They're leaving him. And now Democrats, the Biden campaign, the mob and the media, they are all desperate. And I mean desperate. Now, some would even say that, well, the left is bracing for a political bloodbath, which is why they are desperately now praying that Donald Trump spends the next 231 days in courtrooms all across America in the hopes that Joe Biden's weaponized Department of Justice can help Joey win the day. But whatever you do, just don't call it a bloodbath. Or Democrats, they will accuse you of fomenting violence. The same people that said the 574 riots in the summer of 2020 that killed dozens of Americans, injured thousands of cops, pelted with bricks, rocks, bottles, Molotov cocktails, and caused billions in property damage, they claim they were mostly peaceful. Now, more desperation on their part. Over the weekend, Trump used the phrase to describe the potential economic fallout of a second Joe Biden term. But according to the left and their allies in the mob and the media, Trump committed a mortal sin with a threatening call to arms. In what is now even a deleted post, our old friend, liberal Joe Scarborough, breathlessly stating, following, quote, Donald Trump's America, and he is proud of it, promised another bloodbath if he loses again. You mean like the riots in 2020 that liberals said were mostly peaceful? Anyway, now this is just the tip of the iceberg. But before we get to all the insane hysteria, and we've got great montages tonight, and the blatant hypocrisy, let's just listen to former President Trump's full remarks. Let's actually play them in context, in his own words. No editing. Take a look.
Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
And he talks about cars again. He was talking about the cars and the auto industry. You just heard the speech. The president was discussing the automobile industry. If you have a brain and any intellectual honesty, you will admit that and acknowledge that. But let's see how the Democrats and the lying, corrupt media mob, their best friends and their chief donors, characterize these remarks. This should not shock you, but take a look anyway.
One specific remark from Donald Trump's rally on Saturday has set off a political firestorm, but is it possible the firestorm is missing what should be of real concern?
We just have to win this election because he's even predicting a bloodbath. What does that mean? He's going to exact a bloodbath? There's something wrong here.
When the former president, who's already incited violence among his followers, says that there's going to be a bloodbath, what after the election if he does not win. He is telling us what he is going to do.
A major party candidate is saying, you elect me, there's going to be dictatorship, bloodbath, violence, retribution against my political enemies. That equals what we saw in Italy and Germany and other places.
So if you look at the way he said this, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, then he stops. That's going to be the least of it. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
Obviously, he's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows, going, well, yeah, our president, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry, and this is one more. It's just bull. Let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just bull.
I mean, you got to laugh. Just, you know, full-blown lying, dishonesty, hysteria from NBC, CBS, fake news, CNN, MSDNC, The New York Times, pretty much everyone in the Democratic Party, every single, quote, mainstream media outlet, just they're just flat-out lying to your face. Now, Trump's full remarks are on tape. He's clearly not calling for political violence at all. In fact, he is using, well, let's say a pretty normal analogy. As a matter of fact, this phrase, pay attention, liberal Joe, is very common on the left. Let's remind you.
Republicans understand that they're headed for another potential electoral bloodbath.
Quickly, it's still not clear that Donald Trump will in fact testify, because they think that would be a bit of a bloodbath.
Major universities bracing for a bleak financial situation. Why one expert is predicting a bloodbath as classes resume this fall.
But as Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC.
Coming out of Iowa, they were promising that this was effectively going to be a bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really
and
tough.
And Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake.
The thing I fear most is if he doesn't run, there's going to be a bloodbath of the Democratic Party.
Because the battle is already on. Donald Trump is going to win this nomination, and we need to be ready for that. Look, it is a long fight ahead. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for anybody. People who don't think this election is going to be a bloodbath are mistaken.
As the administration braces itself for a bloodbath in 2018 and a wave of staff departures.
We're going to begin right off the bat with some breaking news in our money lead and what's being described as a market bloodbath.
It's like we're doing just great in Georgia and, you know, Ohio. Good God, was that a bloodbath the other night?
Florida is going to be a political bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
You can't make it up, can you? Even Joe Biden himself, he used the term in 2020, telling donors that the Bernie Sanders campaign might cause a primary bloodbath. And here's where it gets the most interesting. Democrats, the mob, the media, they have done far worse than use the term bloodbath in a political analogy in recent years. Some actually even calling for Donald Trump's assassination. Others, including your vice president, Kamala Harris, remember the bail fund she tweeted out after the precinct in Minneapolis was burned to the ground, and they're not going to stop, we're not going to stop, encouraging the rioting in that summer of love and promoting the bail fund for dangerous criminals. Many have stated publicly they wanted to punch Trump in the face, or as Joe Biden said, I wish we were in high school so I could take him behind the gym. Well, if there's a windstorm, Joe may be blown over. The Senate Majority Leader Chuckie Schumer even threatening the United States Supreme Court during a violent speech on the very steps of the U.S. Supreme Court. And that's not all. Let's take a trip down memory lane. This is probably my favorite montage of the night. Take a look.
Everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day.
There needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives. And unfortunately, there's plenty to go around.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president? I want to clarify, I'm not an actor. I lie for a living.
Just like Donald.
However, it's been a while. And maybe it's time.
How dare he say the things he does? Of course I want to punch him in the face.
Right.
Yes!
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
But Michelle says that, you know, when they go low, we go high. No. No. When they go low, we kick them.
I'll put Mr. Burgess up against Sean Hannity. He'll tear him up.
The press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish we were in high school. I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch. I want to tell you, Kavanaugh. You have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
Was that Obama wanting somebody to beat me up? I'll take him on, whoever Mr. Burgess is, if he wants to, you know, bring it on. Anyway, keep in mind, there was no media hysteria after the violent rhetoric, none. But they take the words of Donald Trump completely out of context. They pretend that we are facing an existential crisis, and this is what they do every day. The top donors to the Biden campaign this year, like in 2020, like Hillary Clinton in 2016, will be the mob and the media. Not to be outdone, the Biden campaign actually released this new, disgusting, dishonest ad. Take a look.
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath, and it's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
Jews will not replace us!
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. It's going to be a bloodbath.
Now, this comes just a few days after a previous ad comparing, again, Trump to the KKK. Here's the truth, though. Well, Joe Biden, your president, is the only candidate in this race who praised the former Klansman Robert KKK Byrd. He called him a friend and a mentor. Joe Biden, your president, he is the only candidate who worked with the Klansman, Robert Byrd, and other segregationists. Why? They wanted to stop the integration of schools and school busing because he didn't want kids going to schools and growing up in a, his words, racial jungle. That's Joe Biden, the only candidate who told African-Americans they ain't black if they don't vote for him. Joe Biden's the only candidate who lies regularly about his role in the civil rights era. So Biden's attacks are, well, pretty bizarre, beyond dishonest. He's full of lies. He lacks all self-awareness. But his campaign, they have no choice. Here's their problem. They cannot run on his record in 231 days. Your lives have become much worse under your president, Joe. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Under Joe Biden, hell no. He has failed, and he's failed miserably. But the question tonight, where do we go from here? Joe has already jumped the shark, compared Trump to the KKK. He's accusing Trump of ending American democracy. He's lying about abortion. We now know they lied a lot about January 6th and kept a lot of information from the that was exculpatory from you, the American people. And he's lied about the economy. Are you better off? Joe Biden is fomenting panic, hysteria. He's promoting a fake existential crisis. He's trying to prop up his shrinking base and the mob and the media. They just are an extension of the Biden campaign. I've enjoyed that. That was cathartic for me.
The bogus bloodbath story. That's the focus of tonight's angle. All right, aside from the Democrat machine raking in big money for the campaign, Joe Biden's had a rather lousy month. As much as the press tried to sell Biden's State of the Yell speech, it flopped. Didn't give him any bump in the polls, but it did remind everyone of their old uncle's reaction whenever someone tried to turn down the volume when he was watching Jeopardy. And this is the New York Times. Democrat voter registration is plummeting as well. Virtually every group of voters under 70 has become less likely to register as Democrats compared to Republicans since 2019. And even Biden's new choice in footwear tells a sad tale.
From sensory peripheral neuropathy in his feet.
Well, when your candidate has to wear the equivalent of orthopedic shoes because the staff is worried about his falling on his face, you know, you kind of need to change the narrative fast. Well, to be accurate, it's pretty much the old narrative repackaged with a new word.
When he says the word bloodbath, he knows what he's doing, whether he means an economic bloodbath or something else in the same speech. He is endorsing
political violence.
If you look at the way he said this, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, then he stops. That's going to be the least of it. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
We are all desensitized and inured to the extraordinary, remarkable, and very, at times, un-American and threatening things that the former president is saying.
When he says bloodbath, he means it literally.
I mean, this was just preposterous. And former President Trump was railing against China's move into Mexico with auto manufacturing plants that crank out cheap EVs. Now, this is a point the angle has raised repeatedly. China's goal isn't just to compete with U.S. car companies. Oh, no. Its goal is to put them out of business permanently. This would be cataclysmic to the United States.
We're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars.
Now, anyone with a sixth grade understanding of the English language, minus woke indoctrination, would know that Trump was not calling for or predicting a civil war. It's ludicrous. But people who call themselves historians, but have turned into, before our very eyes, unhinged left-wing pundits, they can't help themselves.
However this election turns out, it will be. Americans were given the voluntary choice to become pawns in a dictatorship, under a presidency of unimaginable brutality and violence. What I would suggest is, let's go back to the late 1920s in Germany or the early 1930s. The Nazis and Hitler came to power under a legal system. They did not seize power overnight illegally. They were able to get elected, and one reason that happened was that people didn't realize that if you're voting for Hitler, this could end in the Holocaust and a defeat in World War II.
Okay. We've actually moved from talking about Chinese EVs to the Holocaust. It is actually so pathetic and insulting, and it's sad at this point. These people have become caricatures of themselves. I don't think they realize it. The drug companies really should abandon the COVID shot and come up with an injection for this anti-Trump virus. It's noxious. Obviously, if anyone is spurring on violence or stoking unrest before November, it's people like this.
This embrace of political violence, this dehumanizing language, this is what Donald Trump has been preaching for years. In January, he warned that there will be, quote, bedlam in this country if his criminal prosecution derailed his campaign. Late last year, he echoed the dehumanizing language of Adolf Hitler.
Okay. The boys and the girls in the media who cry wolf every day were almost instantly fact-checked, and in some cases by honest liberals who don't even like Trump and would never support him. MSNBC's resident Morning Joke deleted his nasty tweet after Elon Musk slammed him. But then he went back on a profanity-laced rampage earlier today.
He's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows, going, well, presidents, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry, and this is one more. It's just
Now, I must have missed the part of debate class when swearing is a substitute for logic. Doesn't work. I'm like Joe now. I'm whispering. Now, what we saw over the weekend was the increasing power and influence of citizen journalists and the decreasing power of the corporate press. The left's hoaxes are piling up faster than Leo DiCaprio's 25-year-old former girlfriends. First, it was the Russia collusion hoax. Then the Charlottesville both sides hoax. Then the insurrection hoax about January 6th, and now the bloodbath hoax. This is just another in a long line of smears peddled by the same people who follow the same steps. So first, it's an outright lie or just a rank distortion of something usually Trump or another conservative says. Then the Biden campaign or a Biden surrogate picks up on the smear.
What I heard was a continuation of the same rhetoric, the same endorsement of political violence that we've seen from Donald Trump for years, as you pointed out. It goes even farther back, right? This is exactly who Donald Trump is, and this is exactly the threat that he poses to our democracy every single day.
And then the regime media repeats the White House or the surrogate or the, you know, puppets. They're repeating it. Then over time, it gets repeated as gospel with zero fact checking. The original transcript, the truth, that gets deep sixed in the process. It's the way they roll. But now, thanks to Elon Musk, we don't just have Fox to set the record straight. We have X. And with true press freedom, real facts become harder to bury or deny. Suddenly, there are thousands of fact checkers in real time. If he had this type of uncensored, rapid response during COVID, maybe the lockdowns wouldn't have lasted so long in the blue states. But as we saw, the branch COVIDians rushed to silence medical voices posing important questions. Just look what happened to Martin Kulldorff at Harvard or Peter McCullough at Baylor. Remember, the left doesn't seek honest dialogue. That era's long gone. That's over. They want to stoke your anger. They want to stoke resentment among others. And they want division. They always want division. And they'll stop at nothing to take down their opposition. The bloodbath hoax is a run-through for what the next 7 months will be like. Get ready. They'll say do it and do anything, and they have unlimited funds to promote their lies. We have to keep rebutting them in real time. And as the anti-Trump hoaxes abound, so do the pro-Biden hoaxes. Now, my favorite new one is that President Biden is mad at his staff who are holding him back. And that as he can't, you know, he can't wait to get out on the campaign trail. Now, the story is meant to make Biden seem alert and even vigorous. Surrounded by protective aides who want to minimize the chances of a flub, the 81-year-old president has chafed at restraints that he sees as counter to his natural instincts as a retail politician, a third person familiar with the internal discussion said. He felt cocooned at times and has been eager to get out more, meet voters face to face, and take the fight directly to Trump, said the third person and a fourth also familiar with the matter, who, like others, of course, spoke on the condition of anonymity. These types of stories, if you haven't figured it out yet, are always peddled by anonymous sources. Now, this is all the equivalent of reputation triage. Not only is Biden not out of it, he's on it.
He goes over word by word every piece of a speech, changing words, trying to make sure that he feels the message he is trying to convey will connect with American people.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine Biden with his red pen going over drafts meticulously? No, it's more like a purple crayon. Let's be clear. These stories are obviously lies or they're just gross exaggerations planted by Biden's communications team to promote the notion that he's fit and he's ready to go.
Can I take a few questions?
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat.
They should make that Biden's ringtone. Of course, he's failing. He's the opposite of fit, which is why they cannot risk another embarrassment, another debacle in front of the cameras. Can anyone imagine a real president like Clinton or Obama being prevented from campaigning however he wanted to campaign by his own staff? Can anyone imagine Trump being manipulated by his own people? No way. No real president is controlled by his staff. No real president chafes at restraints or feels cocooned. Real presidents tell their staff what to do, and real presidents fire staffers who don't do what they're told. Hey, Biden's not a real president, and he has no choice but to do what his staff says. They know he can't campaign, so they keep him locked up, and then they leak stories about how he's just eager, so eager to go back on the attack. It's both obvious and desperate, and we will call this out every time. There won't be any bloodbath, but there will be a lot of black eyes on the media folks who are selling these hoaxes. And that's the angle. Joining me now is Hoover Institution Senior Fellow Victor Davis Hanson. Victor, I mean, there's a serious side of all of this. I mean, the hoaxes are just so preposterous, but there's a serious aspect of this, which is why we like bringing you on the angle and love talking to you about these issues, because otherwise you kind of get lost on the anonymous sources say this or that. But why is this so serious?
It's serious because it shows you that these people are in free fall. They are almost unhinged because they have tried to destroy Donald Trump through lawfare, and the indictments are not working. They tried to get him off the ballot. They tried to bankrupt him and ruin him psychologically, physically, financially. That hasn't worked. They look at the issues that are important to all of us, Laura, the border, crime, inflation, what happened in Afghanistan, two wars that broke out on the Biden watch, energy, and they can't run on any of them because they've been an ungodly disaster. Then they look at the candidate themselves, and he's not able to function as a normal 21st century candidate. They look at the vice president. So this frustration builds up, and they just lash out. And they make it worse. They're like an addict that don't understand that they don't understand that the fixation is destroying them and destroying their popularity and their theme and their message, but they can't stop. They're so obsessed. And Victor, I've never seen anything like this before.
Victor, someone who, you know, was pretty well respected for many, many years, Michael Beschloss, he's a very talented writer. But to see him he's just completely subsumed in this loathing of Trump and this distortion of what sort of American populism is, economic nationalism, whatever you want to call it. To go from Trump and his comments to you know, the Anschluss, really? That's where he is as a historian?
I know. And there's a general rule among historians that anytime you resort to the absurdio ad Hitlerum, the absurd argument to invoke Hitler, then you've lost the argument and you're discredited. They know that better than anybody, yet they can't help it. And they've destroyed their reputations, and it's going to get worse. You're absolutely right. We're at the beginning of this, and they don't know what to do, because I think also, Laura, very quickly, it's a part of projection. They think if we were Donald Trump and he was about ready to be elected, and he knows what we did to him, we know what we would do if we were Donald Trump, and they project that anger onto him. And the fact is, Trump never weaponized the FBI or the CIA or the DOJ. He didn't go after people in the way that both the Obama and the Biden, especially the Biden administrations, have. So they're projecting what they would do if they were Trump, and they're not Trump, because we have 4 years of a record of governance was one of the best in recent memory, if not in the 21st century, surely.
Victor, do you agree that this may, and I'm very cautiously optimistic, but may be a tipping point, though, because it's not working. I mean, everyone's racist. Everything is racist. Now everything's Hitler that is not liberal or far left. And they've done it time and time again, or Bidenomics is working, or it's going to be, you know, inflation's transitory. It's not working. And they're being fact-checked in real time now with real facts. And I think they're overwhelmed by facts. And they actually don't know what to do with facts because they're not used to real debate.
Yeah, and I think there's a revolution going on in the Latino and the Black communities. They're sort of like the white working class that got sick of the bicultural elite telling them what to do. They realize that they have class interests that are more attuned to Trump than their own elite Black and Latino politicians, media, talking heads, and they're defecting. They're saying, we don't want to defund the police. We don't want 10 million illegal aliens in the inner city. We don't want them in our border towns. And you people are out of touch. And that's a revolutionary development. I've never seen anything like that either. And I don't think they know how to handle that. When they call people racist and then they're going to get a record downfall or drop off of the Black and Latino votes, it doesn't make any sense. No. And they know it doesn't. They've alienated people.
This is wild. They do need an mRNA shot just for Trump derangement syndrome. Victor, great to see you as always.
I think what amazed many ordinary folks about the bloodbath fiasco
was really the lack of subtlety involved. Many people knew right off the bat that Donald Trump was talking about the automobile industry and cars made in China that would flood the United States market. At any rate, that's it for this edition of The Last Negroes at Harvard. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.